listen up to see what the Lord has to bring to us through Brother Jim. And I know that he's prepared because Jim is one that I like to take things to and bounce off of, because I know that he's not going to give me answers that I just want to hear. He's going to give me answers that I need to hear, whether I like to hear them or not. And that's a true brother in my eyes. So with that, I give you my brother, Elder Jim Case.
Thank you, Mark. Lest I should forget, there was a number, virtually everyone that was in Phoenix sent their love to you, and I promised them I would do that, so I don't want to forget. And those of you who requested that I send your love to them, I did so, and of course they responded in kind. It was indeed an enjoyable time down there. However, they accused us of bringing Missouri weather to their area. And it was close. If you can believe them, a drizzling rain almost all day long, they had that, which was rather unique for their area. I appreciated our brother Randy's sermon this morning because he warned you of the things to come. And of course, with that things to come, there's always an if, and it is dependent on what you and I do, how that outcome will be. And it's the thing that's been on my heart for a number of weeks, actually, that that we need to be prepared. And how might I convince you of it, of the way to be prepared? And I find it interesting that the song that we began with this evening was number 118, which was "Look for the Beautiful." Look for that which is true. And indeed, we have sunshine around us, but there's many shadows as well. Difficulties on every hand. But if we concentrate our view on those things that are important, it can be beautiful, because our God's hand is in all of it. Speaking of God's hand and the commandments that he caused to be provided for us, he has never changed his precepts. Not once. And I can already hear some of you arguing with me and saying, well, but there was the law of Moses and he changed it after that. And I'll grant you that he gave the law of Moses to try to teach a people a right way to live. But his principles did not change. And granted, that there was a time when they used sacrifice as a way to remind themselves that they were to be obedient to his commandments. But there came a time when enough was enough. And he said, do away with your blood sacrifices. I want no more of them. And he asked you and I for a contrite heart, one willing to listen to that still small voice and follow those commandments. Pardon me, I would not blame Bonnie for my sore throat or whatever it is I've got. It just seems like it appeared this morning. And so I'm trying to deal with it. Hopefully we'll make it through tonight. As I considered how to approach these things, I've looked at it from so many different angles that I've become a little, not confused, but and not bewildered, but mystified as to how to explain them. If I were to go to 3 Nephi and read there in the fifth chapter, the Beatitudes, and some people call them the Blesseds, and I'll be honest with you, when I was a little kid, I heard that word Beatitudes, and I couldn't figure out what in the world they were talking about. You know, because I didn't see the word be there, I saw the word blessed. I'd encourage you to, at some point, take a moment and read those from the fifth chapter of 3 Nephi, and you'll find that he says that you're blessed if, in every instance. You know, if you'll believe on him, accept his word, and be baptized, he gives you a promise. Every time he gives you a promise. Tells you you'll have the Holy Ghost to be with you. And then he begins to deal with what kind of a mindset you're supposed to have with your brother or your sister or your enemy. If you're able to regret your sins, he gives you comfort. And if you have a desire to know his word, to read it and to understand it, and when it doesn't come clear the first time, you're willing to take the time to go back and read and reread and reread, maybe many times before the fullness of it comes to your mind. He tells you not only will you have the Holy Ghost, but you'll be filled with it. It'll be, I don't want to call it consuming, but that your being will be filled with that feeling, that hope, that pleasantness. And if you have a pure heart, he says you're going to see God. And I have to assume that that means that you're going to be one of those that receive eternal life. One of those things that perhaps is not a something that you and I can fathom, an eternity that's full of happiness, full of joy. There's no end to the peace. Because every one of us lives or have a similarity in that there's moments of joy and there's times when we feel at peace with our decisions, but there's those times when we're totally frustrated with our own actions. And there's those times when we're totally frustrated with the people who are around us. And yet he gives us a way to deal with those things. And he gave it to us in the Sermon on the Mount. That's what he gave us while he was here. And he gave the same words through some of his servants, all of them actually, but one of them particularly that I had thought to turn to tonight, through Messiah, or rather through King Benjamin, a man that was not at all like a king that you and I would think of in today's terms, one who would not turn a finger to or lift a finger to hardly to feed himself, he would expect someone else to do that for him. But a man who toiled for his own bread and butter. A man who gave of himself to that community that he was surrounded by, those individuals that were under his command. And the only thing that he required of them was that they live righteous lives, that they were kind to one another, that they refrained from evil. In the second chapter of Mosiah, there's a very familiar reading that I have used it myself, and I'm going to use it again tonight, perhaps in a little bit different way. But many others have used it the same way because it carries with it those commandments. It's found on page 220, where he says, believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and earth. You know, in our day and time, there's large numbers of people that would take that one statement and say, well, I'm not so sure. And when you add to it that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth, they would say, well, if he has all power on earth, then how come all these bad things happen? Indeed, he does. He has all power. But he also gave each one of us our free will agency. And if we look deeply enough, when things are tough, it's usually our own fault. Believe that man doth not comprehend the things which the Lord can comprehend. There are times we do not totally understand his law. And yet, when we violate it, we find out that it brings us frustration and sorrow. And when we live by it, we find that there's a peace in our life that's almost unexplainable. Again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he will forgive you. The world today would say, well, if you want to follow this myth, well, just bow your head and pray to him and ask him to forgive you, and everything's okay. And go out tomorrow and live tomorrow just like you did today, and you'll be all right, because he's forgiven you. Somehow or other, they have not seen that word forsake them when it's talking about our sins. And incidentally, these were words that were penned some 124 years before Christ came. So this was under the old law, and it hasn't changed. This is, and if you believe these things, see that you do them. Well, that was not all that King Benjamin taught his people. He taught them that they were to, if you read on to the next page, you find that he taught them that they were to live justly with one another. That living justly with one another and with mercy towards one another, included the beggar, that we were not to turn him away. Nothing has changed. If you were to go in a few pages over in the third chapter, and about the 21st verse, it's the last one in that chapter. King Benjamin summed up his comments to the people with this. Perhaps I should back up. I'm going to begin with the 11th verse. He says, there is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore, I would that you should take upon you the name of Christ, all of you that have entered into a covenant with God, that you should be obedient unto the end of your lives. Ooh. So I can't just say I'm sorry today and then go to tomorrow what I would like. I have to be obedient the remainder of my life. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will do this shall be found at the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ. And now it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not take upon them the name of Christ must be called by some other name, therefore he findeth himself on the left hand of God. And I would that ye should remember also that this is the name that I said I should give unto you, that never should be blotted out except through transgression. Therefore, take heed that you do not transgress, that the name be not blotted out of your hearts. I say unto you, I would that you should remember to retain the name written always in your hearts, that you are not found on the left hand of God, but that you hear and know the voice by which you shall be called, and also the name by which you shall be called. He shall call you. For how knoweth a man the master which he hath not served, and which is a stranger unto him, and is far from the thoughts and intents of his heart? And again, doth a man take an ass which belongeth to his neighbor and keep him? I say unto you, nay, he would not even suffer that he should feed among his flocks, but will drive him away and cast him out. I say unto you that even so shall it be among you, if ye know not the name by which ye are called. Therefore, I would that ye should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. The same God that gave these commandments also at times sent his prophets to speak to the people and to give them understanding of what was to come. If we were to turn to Helaman, we would find some of those written down for our benefit. Helaman in the 5th chapter. It's difficult to know where to start because Samuel was that prophet that was sent, a Lamanite, someone that didn't look like the Nephites, and so they didn't have the same respect for him perhaps that they would have had of one of their own. But I doubt seriously that they would listen to one of their own either. I'll start with the 28th verse. It says, behold, ye the people of this great city, hearken unto my words. Yea, hearken unto the words which the Lord saith. For behold, he saith that ye are cursed because of your riches. And also your riches cursed because ye have set your hearts upon them and have not hearkened unto the words of him who gave them unto you. Yet ye do not remember that the Lord your God in the things which he hath blessed you, but you do always remember your riches, not to thank the Lord your God for them. Just a small thing that was amiss in their lives, which goes back to one of those commandments that he gave through, I believe it was James, when he said that the love of money was the root of much evil. And here again, it's happening. Yea, your hearts are not drawn out unto the Lord, but they do swell with great pride unto boasting, and unto great swelling envyings and strifes and malice and persecutions and murders and all manner of iniquities. For this cause hath the Lord God caused that a curse shall come upon the land and also upon your riches, and this because of your iniquities. Yea, woe unto this people because of this time which has arrived, that you do cast out the prophets and do mock them and cast stones at them and do slay them and do all manner of iniquity unto them, even as they did of old time. And now, when ye talk, ye say, if our days had been the days of our fathers of old, we would not have slain the prophets, we would not have stoned them and cast them out.
Behold, ye are worse than they. For as the Lord liveth, if a prophet come among you and declareth unto you the word of the Lord, which testifieth of your sins and iniquities, you are angry with him and cast him out and seek all manner of ways to destroy him. Yea, but ye will say that he is a false prophet, and that he is a sinner, and of the devil, because he testifieth that your deeds are evil. But behold, if a man should come among you, and shall say, Do this, and there is no iniquity, do that, and ye shall not suffer, yea, he will say, Walk after the pride of your own hearts, yea, walk after the pride of your eyes, and do whatsoever your heart desireth. And if a man shall come among you, and say this, you will receive him, and you will say that he is a prophet. Yea, and you will lift him up, and you will give unto him of your substance, and you will give unto him of your gold, and of your silver, and of your clothing, and you will clothe him with costly apparel, because he speaketh flattering words unto you, and he saith that all is well, that you will not be found, you will not find fault with him. I'm sorry for bringing in current events perhaps at this point, but I heard just, I think it was this morning, that some wonderful fair-sized town in Texas has for the first time in history decided that they would like to have a mayor who is a homosexual. And what have they done besides to clothe him and listen to his flattering words and decide that they would like to listen to his way of life and follow after him in their city? I'm blown away. You know, it would not have been very many years ago and people would not have given him 2 seconds or her 2 seconds of time. And yet today, people will say, well, at the worst, maybe it's a sickness. There are plenty of places that you can go to and find out that it was not very pleasing to our Heavenly Father. For one thing, he destroyed the name of the city escapes me, but you know which one I'm thinking of. Sodom and Gomorrah. And only Lot and his family were able to leave that place. It also gives you an idea how much God will put up with. He was down to 3. His wife looked back, and he destroyed her as well. And I wouldn't call them his two daughters being very righteous ladies, let alone himself. He was an alcoholic, and they were rather unseemly ladies themselves, and yet he preserved them. We look at things as being tough, but I would tell you that without doubt they'll get worse unless this people changes. He goes on to say, O ye wicked and ye perverse generation, ye hardened and ye stiff-necked people, how long will ye suppose that the Lord will suffer you? Yea, how long will ye suffer yourselves to be led by foolish and blind guides? Yea, how long will ye choose darkness rather than light? Yea, behold, the anger of the Lord is already kindled against you. Behold, he hath cursed the land because of your iniquity. And behold, the time cometh that he curseth your riches, that it become a slippery, that you cannot hold them. In the days of your poverty you cannot retain them. In the days of your poverty you shall cry unto the Lord, and in vain shall you cry, for your desolation is already come upon you, and your destruction is made sure. And then shall ye weep and howl in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And then shall ye lament and say, Oh, that I had repented, and had not killed the prophets, and stoned them, and cast them out. Yea, in that day shall you say, Oh, that we had remembered the Lord our God in that day that he gave us our riches. And then would we not have become, they would not have become slippery that we should lose them. For behold, our riches are gone from us. Behold, we lay a tool here, and on the morrow it is gone. And behold, our swords are taken from us in the day we have sought them for battle. Yea, we have hid up our treasures, and they have slipped away from us because of the curse of this land. Oh, that we had repented in the days that the word of the Lord came unto us. For behold, the land is cursed, and all things have become slippery, and we cannot hold them. And that was pretty tough words that Samuel spoke to them. But as almost invariably, God, when he sends a prophet or causes his promises to be printed for our benefit, he gives you the promise to go with it. And will tell you what's going to take place so that you know that what he has told you is true. And he did that with Samuel as well. Sometimes you have to wait to see, perhaps. But when he has spoken, every word that he has spoken will come to pass. Not part of it or most of it, but every word of it will come to pass. I'm going to skip to the 54th verse. He says, "Now it came to pass that Samuel the Lamanite did prophesy a great many more things which cannot be written. And behold, he saith unto them, Behold, I give unto you a sign, for 5 years more cometh, and behold, then cometh the Son of God to redeem all those who have believed on his name. And behold, this will I give unto you for a sign at the time of his coming, for behold, there shall be great lights in heaven, insomuch that in the night before he cometh, there shall be no darkness, insomuch that it shall appear unto men as if it was day. Therefore, there shall be one day and a night and a day as if it were one day, and there were no night. And this shall be unto you for a sign, for you shall know the rising of the sun and also the setting. Therefore, they shall know of a surety that there shall be 2 days and a night. Nevertheless, the night shall not be darkened, and it shall be the night before he is born." I can't remember what magazine I picked up here a while back, but it was someone who had dealt into history and went back and not just the native Indian populations, but in a number of different countries and the native peoples. He got their legends and listened to them that are handed down from mouth to mouth. And every one of them records this incident when there was a day and a night and a day that was one day. Every one of them knew it. Something that Joseph Smith would not have known in his day, and yet it's recorded. "And behold, there shall be a new star arise, such an one as you never have beheld, and this also shall be a sign unto you. And behold, this is not all. There shall be many signs and wonders in heaven, and it shall come to pass that ye shall be amazed, insomuch that ye shall fall to the earth. And it shall come to pass that whosoever believeth on the Son of God, the same shall have everlasting life. And behold, thus hath the Lord commanded me by his angel, that I should come and tell you these things unto you. And he hath commanded me that I should prophesy these things unto you. Yea, he hath said unto me, Cry unto this people, Repent, and prepare ye the way of the Lord." It's also recorded in this same book. Not in this one, but I mean the book that follows in 3 Nephi. This incident happened there. And it's recorded here. But as I said earlier, it's been found within their legends. And I'm sure that's no happenstance. He gave them some more signs. (Clears throat) starting in 75, it says, "Behold, as I said unto you concerning another sign, a sign of his death, behold, in that day that he shall suffer death, the sun shall be darkened and refuse to give her light unto you, and also the moon and the stars, and there shall be one light. There shall be no light upon the face of this land, even from the time that he shall suffer death for the space of 3 days to the time that he shall rise again from the dead. Yea, at the time that he shall yield up the ghost, there shall be thunderings and lightnings for the space of many hours, and the earth shall shake and tremble, and the rocks which are upon the face of the earth, which are both above the earth and beneath, which ye know at this time are solid, or the more part of it is one solid mass, shall be broken up. Yea, they shall be rent in twain, and shall ever after be found in seams and in cracks and in broken fragments upon the face of the whole earth, yea, both above the earth and beneath. And behold, there shall be great tempest, and there shall be many mountains laid low, like unto a valley, and there shall be many places which are now called valleys, which shall become mountains, whose height thereof is great. And many highways shall be broken up, and many cities shall become desolate, and many graves shall be opened, and shall yield up many of their dead, and many saints shall appear unto many. And behold, thus hath the angel spoken unto me, for he said unto me that there should be thunderings and lightnings for the space of many hours. And he said unto me that while the thunder and the lightning lasted and the tempest, that these things should be, and the darkness should cover the face of the whole earth for the space of 3 days. And the angel saith unto me that many shall see greater things than these, to the intent that they might believe that these signs and these wonders should come to pass upon all the face of this land, to the intent that there should be no cause for unbelief among the children of men." That same book that I was reading recorded this event as well. And the fact that all the tribes of the earth remember these 3 days of darkness. It's interesting that the Bible does not record that. Why? I'm not sure. It just calls it a great storm. Perhaps it's one of those things that was carefully left out. If you want to read of those events when they actually took place, as I said, they're found in 3 Nephi, the first chapter, verses about 9 through 23, and the latter part of it, of his death, are found in chapter 4. From about 6 to 21 in part. And I'd encourage you to read even more than that, because there was tremendous things that took place. Things that, if those non-believers would have listened, they would have found joy in them, even though they were horrible experiences. 3 days of darkness is not something that you look forward to. Unfortunately, I started to say unfortunately, but I believe it's fortunate for us. Those are not the only prophecies that have been given. Not the only promises that have been uttered. And I'm wondering which ones I should talk about, because there's so many of them that are recorded. Let's go to 2 Nephi in the 7th chapter. I'll start with page 72. I'll start with the third verse. It says, I, Nephi, saith unto them, Behold, they were made manifest unto the prophet by the voice of the Spirit. For by the Spirit are all things made known unto the prophet, which shall come upon the children of men according to the flesh. Wherefore, the things which I have read are things pertaining to the things both temporal and spiritual. For it appeareth that the house of Israel sooner or later will be scattered upon all the face of the earth and also among all nations. And we know that's true. And yet, this was prophesied before it happened, about 570 or so B.C. And behold, there are many which are already lost from the knowledge of they which are at Jerusalem. Yea, the more part of all the tribes have been led away, and they are scattered to and fro upon the isles of the sea. And whither they are, none of us knoweth, save that we know that they have been led away. And since they have been led away, these things have been prophesied concerning them, and also concerning all they which shall hereafter be scattered and be confounded because of the Holy One of Israel. For against him will they harden their hearts. Wherefore, they shall be scattered among all nations and shall be hated of all men. Even in our own country, we often will muse that if you want something, and I'm guilty of this myself, we'll say, well, if you want to sell something, give it to a Jew. He'll get rid of it for you and make a profit. And it's true. In a sense, it's a blessing that they were given, and yet the rest of us look down our nose at them because of it. Wherefore, they shall be scattered among all nations, and shall be hated by all men. Nevertheless, after they have been nursed by the Gentiles, and the Lord hath lifted up his hand upon the Gentiles and set them up for a standard, and their children shall be carried in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Behold, these things of which are spoken are temporal, for thus are the covenants of the Lord with our fathers. These are things that are going to happen in someone's lifetime. And it meaneth us in the days to come, and also all the brethren which are of the house of Israel. And it meaneth that the time cometh that after all the house of Israel hath been scattered and confounded, that the Lord God will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, yea, even upon the face of this land. Has it taken place? I would say it has. You'll not find a stronger nation, although we're doing everything we can to possibly can, it seems, at the present time to kill ourselves and destroy our power. At one point in history, there was no nation stronger than the U.S. By them shall our seed be scattered. And after that our seed is scattered, the Lord God will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which shall be of great worth unto our seed. Wherefore it is likened unto their being nourished by the Gentiles and being carried in their arms upon their shoulders. And it shall also be of worth unto the Gentiles, and not only unto the Gentiles, but unto all the house of Israel, and unto the making known of the covenants of the Father of heaven unto Abraham, saying, In thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And I would, my brethren, that ye should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arms in the eyes of all the nations and bring about his covenants and his gospel unto them which are of the house of Israel. Wherefore he will bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered together to the land of their first inheritance, and they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness, and they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And the blood of that great and abominable church, which is the whore of the earth, of all the earth, shall turn upon their own heads. For they shall war among themselves, and the sword of their own hand shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another, and they shall fall into the pit which they have digged to ensnare the people of the Lord. Remember these things. please remember them. He has promised it. That those who will fight against his people will fall in the pit that they dug for themselves. Not something that we're to be glorying over, but to recognize that our Heavenly Father cares about you. And all which fight against Zion shall be destroyed, and the great whore which hath perverted the right ways of the Lord, yea, that great and abominable church shall stumble to the dust, and great shall be the fall of it. For behold, saith the prophet, that the time cometh speedily that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they which do wickedly shall be as stubble, and the day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the children of men, for he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Remember that. If you're righteous, he will not suffer that they destroy you. Wherefore he shall preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Remember that. That's his promise. Wherefore, the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come, yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. And it must needs be upon the face of this earth, and it cometh unto men according to the flesh. For if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel, for behold, the righteous shall not perish. For the time surely must come that all they which fight against Zion shall be cut off. And the Lord will surely prepare a way for his people unto the fulfilling of the words of Moses, which he spake, saying, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, like unto him, unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. I presume that's Christ. Take his words above anything else that you might hear. And it shall come to pass that all they which will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. And I, Nephi, declare unto you that this prophet of whom Moses spake was the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore he shall execute judgment in righteousness, and the righteous need not fear, for it is they which shall not be confounded. There are many things around us that can cause us to begin to fear, to begin to wonder, you know, wonder what's going to happen to my retirement, wonder what's going to happen to my job, wonder what's going to happen to my family. Will I get to keep my home? All these things that we can wonder about. And I can't tell you how he will do it. And I'm not going to tell you that he's going to preserve all those physical things that I just mentioned. But he has promised you, you will not be destroyed. But it is the kingdom of the devil which shall be built up among the children of men, which kingdom is established among them which are in the flesh. For the time speedily cometh that all churches which are built up to get gain, and all they which are built up to get power over the flesh, and they which are built up to become popular in the eyes of the world, and they which seek the lust of the flesh and the things of the world, and to do all manner of iniquity, yea, and fine, all they which belong to the kingdom of the devil, it is they which need fear and tremble and quake. If you're holding on to his word, and striving daily to understand what he has asked you to do, there is no need for fear. It is they that must be brought low in the dust. It is they which must be consumed as stubble. And this is according to the words of the prophet. And the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth, and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and he shall feed his sheep, and in him they shall find pasture. And because of the righteousness of his people, I misled you guys a while ago, and I apologize. I'm reading from the first book of Nephi, and I told you the second, I believe. Seventh chapter, page 76 now. And he numbereth his sheep, and they know him, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and he shall feed his sheep, and in him they shall find pasture. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan hath no power. If you long for that day when Satan has no control, that he can't do those things to you or make you want to do things that are inappropriate, then turn to righteousness. And he has no power over you. Wherefore he cannot be loosed for the space of many years, for he hath no power over the hearts of the people. For they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. And now behold, I, Nephi, say unto you that all these things must come according to the flesh. But behold, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people shall dwell safely in the Holy One of Israel, if it so be that they will repent. Boy, those are powerful words. We must repent. Now I, Nephi, make an end, for I durst not speak further as yet concerning these things. That was sufficient. He spoke of things there that have already happened, so that you can know that they'll come to pass. The things that he has recorded for us that will take place in the future. It's interesting that the seventh chapter of 2 Nephi contains other promises that he gave, in which he told his people that as long as they serve the God of this land, they would be blessed. And that if they chose not to, they would be swept off. And he went so far as to tell them who would sweep them off. And he said it would be the Gentiles. And it happened. Not just from the East Coast, but they came in from Central America, numerous directions into this nation, this great land of promise, and destroyed the people that were here for the most part. We placed them on reservations, and now we call them nations. And there was a time when they were dwindling in numbers to the point that even our own people began to worry that they would be annihilated. That annihilation continued to take place until I was in grade school, and I can't tell you the exact year. I think it was 56, but I can't remember for sure. It was just about the same time that, maybe it was a little bit before then. I remember I was in first grade, in the first half of first grade, every day before lunch, we said prayer. And I don't know exactly what portion of the year, but I'll lay it to the first of the year. Came a point in time when our teacher said, we're no longer going to say prayer because they don't want us to do that, but those of you who pray, we're going to have a moment of silence so you can. So we could pray over our food. I'm not going to say this was the first thing that our nation had done that was wrong, but it certainly was a big one, because shortly thereafter, the native peoples of this land began to prosper once again and multiply. They were no longer losing their infants for no apparent reason. They were surviving. And now you look around, and they're so numerous that the reservations can't hold them. God's promises. He said they'd be among us as though they were a lion. And you all know what lions do. I have one in my neighborhood. And he takes calves from my neighboring farmers. We read in Helaman where all their possessions became slippery. And it's happening. Why? Because of unbelief. Because of willingness to forsake his commandments. And yet with each one of his commandments, he gave us a promise. My prayer is that you'll begin to read the scriptures and look for those promises that perhaps those promises can help us to order our lives in such a way that they're pleasing before our Heavenly Father. I'm sure that I have areas in my life that need changing. And so while you're doing that, I'm going to be doing the same. Remembering his promises, that they are sure, that they are true, that he never utters anything within this word that will not happen. And one of those is, if you endure to the end, you will be saved. That's his promise. It's sure. You can go to the bank on it. You can sleep well tonight on it. You can know that he will preserve. Or you can choose to do as much as the rest of the world has done and disregard his commandments and live by the ones that you choose to live by and disregard the others. And say that all is well in Zion. Zion prospers, but not for very long. My prayer for each one of you is that you will not just go home and read, but that you'll search out his commandments. That you'll look at that commandment and see if you have been complying to it. Whether it be with your personal life or be with your finances or if it be with how you treat others. And when you see something that you don't quite come up to the standard on, start working on it. I'm going to be doing that. Because I want that ultimate promise that he has given, eternal life. I don't know what it's going to be like. He gives us similes of what it will be like. You know, some people talk about the streets paved in gold. I don't care about paved gold streets. Some talk about being in the choirs of the angels singing praises. I enjoy singing. I don't know if I do a good job of it, but I enjoy singing. I'm not sure that I would want to do it the proverbial 24 hours a day. But I have to take things that he has said that have already come to pass, and see that he kept his promise. And then look to the things that he has promised for the future and believe in him and be saved. God bless each one.